Administrative Office of the Court.
Hi, this is Jeff Fenton again, trying to see if John Koch is available yet.
No, he's still on that phone. Do you want to leave him a voicemail?
The problem is just time tomorrow. Is he working tomorrow?
As far as I know, yeah.
Okay, I just know with Monday being a holiday, a lot of people would probably take a long weekend, take one day off and have four. But
He hasn't told me about that.
Okay. And could you just tell me, as far as, I know you said he was the person to talk to, but could you please tell me what title he has or whatever, what his actual position is?
I think it's Assistant General Counsel, but let me just double check.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, Assistant General Counsel.
Okay, for the AOC, correct?
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. Is there any way you can just put me back on hold again to see if he gets off that call in the next 10 or 15 minutes? I don't have anybody else I can call at this point.
One moment.
Thank you.
John.
Hello, Mr. Koch?
Yes, sir.
Hi, my name is Jeff Fenton. How are you doing today, sir?
Good, good. Sorry, yes, I got your message a bit ago, and I've just been on a phone conference for the last
right.
5 minutes.
Yeah, totally understandable. Are you familiar with my case at all? Have you heard anything about this other than the message I just left you?
No. In my capacity with ADA questions, these are typically like administrative type requests if somebody is blind or somebody is deaf or, along those lines that we can provide certain accommodations. If it's like a case specific request, such as you're asking for more time for filing something, that you're asking, you're making an argument based on your disability that would impact the actual case itself as opposed to just more access to the court. That has to be done via a motion to the court or something, asking for more time based off of your disability or, an extension of time to, or extension, more page length or, those type of requests that I'm not a judge, so I don't have authority to go in and, do something with the case.
Right.
As for your cases themselves, I have no knowledge of that. I can't, each county kind of does their own thing in terms of filing. There's not one like central database that I can log into and pull up court files. So I have no access to any Williamson County trial court, documents.
Right. That's crazy, huh? The thing is, I'm not really trying to get I'm not really trying to, the case itself is not based on the ADA or my disability. All I'm asking for is more leniency regarding rules and regulations, because I'm not an attorney and I don't know this stuff and I don't have any money because of what they've done. And I'm just trying to get for somebody to actually hear the bulk of the case and decide what's fair or not fair, instead of taking everything I own based on technicalities and lies and having high power attorneys that I just can't, you know, defend myself against. And I would think most normal people couldn't, but I'm not even in that, and that's that good of a situation. So in my understanding of reading the, you know, the ADA code that you guys had, that, you know, procedural flexibility was supposed to be part of that for people that had mental handicaps. It wasn't just, you know, when I had contacted Williamson County's ADA representative and requested assistance, they told me all they could do was bring a wheelchair from the courthouse to the curb if you had mobility issues and couldn't physically get inside. Other than that, they provided no anything for ADA, and that's not what the Tennessee law says, you know, and or the federal law. So I'm trying to, you know, I'm not trying to get people to do a different judgment and give me something entirely different based on my disabilities. I'm just trying to get what's fair with enough flexibility in the dadgum system to where somebody will hear my side of the story. So far, they've thrown out everything that I've said, except for they took a little excerpt from what I said and twisted it wrong and used it against me. But the rest of the 250 pages that I've submitted, they've completely ignored, you know? So it's, that's what the situation is. I mean, I know you're not a judge, and I know that all I'm trying to figure out is procedurally whether or not I'm doing what I need to be doing procedurally, and whether or not it's sufficient, and how to, you know, for example, they've requested the the transcripts that they sent me a notice saying that because of the appellate court accepted my appeal, and then they send me a letter saying notice of failure to comply with rule 24B or C or D, notice that I haven't turned in my statement of evidence or transcripts. I didn't have any idea about this, you know. So I mean, I understand that I had marked that I was going to supply the transcripts, but my understanding was from who I talked to previously that I didn't ask specifically about the statement of transcripts. That was just like a checkbox on the form. But I thought that I was waiting to hear from them in order to submit my brief. So, and then I would have 30 days to submit my brief. I didn't know anything about this other technicality in the meantime. And I also thought that everybody already had the transcript of evidence, because the first time it was the other party's attorney that brought the court reporter, and then I just ponied up with her in order to get a copy for myself also. And the second time in the trial, the judge himself, since I was represented pro se, went and got a reporter and brought her into court. And then again, I paid my part to get a copy. So I thought everybody had a copy of the transcript. So I just don't understand these technicalities
it's not really a technicality. There's very specific appellate rules that, and this is kind of why people go to law school, and that's why it's called the practice. It's complex stuff.
You know? Right.
I'm an attorney. I practiced for a few years, and I had to make a very detailed little checklist every time I took a case on appeal, because if you do one thing wrong, it jeopardizes the whole case.
Right. But there should be,
you know, that what I can do is there's a legal helpline that is staffed by attorneys. And you leave a message, and then they typically call you back.
I've tried to contact all the legal help resources that I could find, Tennessee and federally, and they basically all said that they don't help with divorce-type cases. And so, and then when I was I even went to legal workshops when I was living in the house, and they were like, we don't help people with $400,000 houses. Well, the house is gone now, and, you know, I didn't get a penny from it, and they auctioned it off, and it just barely paid the mortgages, and now it's, you know, for sale for twice as much with $20,000 $1,000 of improvements. It's on the market for $600,000 by some other investor. And I was kicked out without a penny, without, you know, again, a penny of alimony or anything. My wife makes six figures. You know, I mean, everything is, you know, and she was the, you know, the provider in the family. And that was an agreed thing. And I mean, basically, they've screwed me out of everything that I even had before I even met her, you know. And it's just, I mean, it's insane. I mean, I could put this on, you know, a news network and people would say, this is insane. It's common sense. It's not, you know, all a matter of code here. I mean, there should be some way for a person to get a fair trial, regardless of whether or not they got $100,000 to pay Virginia Story or not. Especially when they have mental disabilities, especially when they have mental disabilities that they've provided substantial documentation for, which again the court has acknowledged but refused to assist with. I mean, that's a complete violation of the American with Disabilities Act, huh?
There's gray area there. The American with Disabilities Act is not. You don't get, like, if you're disabled, you don't get an attorney. Those type of things, that it doesn't provide legal assistance with your case. It's about accommodations for something like, let's say, if you have PTSD, that you can request that the court take more breaks during the, you know, hearing, something like that, to let you collect yourself, stuff like that. But when it gets into really case specific, that's where the line draws, and that's where it's the judge and you argue, and you know, I understand where you're coming from. I get these calls often. I hate having to tell people that there is nothing that we can do. It's a civil case. There's no, you don't have a right to counsel in a civil case. Even if I'm charged
as a stalker and put a false order of protection against me when I've never been arrested once in my life. There was never one single domestic dispute call. There was never, my wife is a certified handgun instructor with, you know, 5,000 rounds of ammo under her bed and assault weapons, and, you know, is a certified handgun instructor and was never afraid of anybody a day in her life, you know, and it's just was used to, you know, basically cage me and to silence me while they took every damn thing I had, you know. I mean, all of that is, that's beyond, I mean, in my opinion, you know, the order of protection and then the, you know, taking away the home and everything like that is beyond the scope of just a divorce. They brought those as separate actions, you know, to totally incapacitate me before my divorce. Huh?
Your ways to get relief from that would be, and it sounds like you're attempting to do, but you would appeal the trial court's decisions on those. You
know, right. But then I'm getting.
Nobody can.
They're trying to throw it out on basic technicalities again, and my understanding of even the Tennessee policies and procedures to comply with the, you know, federal Americans with Disabilities Act was, you know, included procedural flexibility and, you know, not, you know, making the law inaccessible to people simply due to technicalities. I mean, I understand that.
I mean, you would first have to come up, what accommodation are you looking for? You're looking for somebody to help explain what the rules are. That would be an interpretation of what the rule, you know, that's legal advice. That's what a lawyer does, and that's what the ADA cannot do.
Right. So how is somebody supposed to, I mean, you know, I've been forced out of my home, forced away from all provision. The court ordered that.
You mentioned going to the, you know, the news media. You can try to go that way. You can talk to your.
I thought about that, but the problem I'm concerned with that is the damn order of protection, you know, where they put in there, I can't talk to anybody. I can't do this. I can't do that. I mean, they basically bound everything that I had. They said I couldn't talk to the creditors. It's like my name was on the deed for that house. How could she default on the mortgage for 5 months ahead of time without me ever being notified that the sum of every asset I ever had in my life that was deposited into that house, just because the mortgage was in her name. I was never even notified that she had defaulted on that or that she had filed for bankruptcy. I even had sent her emails asking her if it was still current, and she refused to respond to them. Then they pushed it into a court, and the court immediately ordered the house to be auctioned because it was behind 5 months that I had no idea about, with no notification whatsoever. You know, I mean, that just seems like I can't imagine a world where that's legal.
So, and again, your avenue of addressing that would be either challenging it in the courts or filing, you know, some type of malicious prosecution, you know, a civil case against her. Again, but that's just going to put you back in court. So.
And that's also going to put me against Virginia Story again, where I have no technical expertise on law, and all I'm looking for is fairness. And even the chancellor himself, on court record, and I even have an audio recording, told me that fair is something that people go to in the South. You know, it's just like fairness is not to be found.
There's only so much, and it's Tennessee case law, United States Supreme Court case law, about how much leeway you give to a self-represented litigant. I mean, you can help them to a certain extent, but everybody has to, you know, if you are going to be self-represented, and I know it's difficult because you can't afford an attorney in a civil case, that's just how it is. They don't, you know, the state of Tennessee and the United States, they don't provide money unless you can claim you're indigent and you can try to go to one of the legal aid societies, but they typically don't get involved in, like you said, domestic matters. So you have to self-teach yourself. You've got to go online, read law, study the law. That's all I can tell you.
I've done a ton of that too, and that, you know, 24/7 consumed my life for a year and a half, but now I'm in a situation where I have to work a minimum wage job just so I can eat. I have to commute 3 hours a day to get to that shitty job when I used to have a home in Brentwood and was surrounded by all kinds of opportunity and was driven out of there. And it's like, I can't do both. I can do one or the other. I can't do both, you know, and it's so, am I just screwed out of everything? And because of the fact that they've got bigger guns and you know, and her attorney lives across the street from the courthouse and you know, they're friends and she has a lot of political influence in Williamson County. And, you know, and it's just, again, the court has never heard one word.
The judge had acted improperly. You can file motions against the judge. Again, there's processes there, but you have to do it, you know. Like I said, there's legal helplines that you can use, and then there's resources online, but it you know, you can try to scrape some money together or see if there's any pro bono, you know, attorneys that you can.
I borrowed $10,000 from my mom just before the house was gone, and I mean, it was, you know, I had one attorney that didn't do anything for me except for promise me that she'd have something the next day, the next day, the next day, and it got down to 2 days before the trial, and I hired two other attorneys finally at the last minute and borrowed more money from my mom, and, you know, they only had a couple days to prepare, went to court, and everything was in Virginia Story's court, and lost everything, so owe my mother another $10,000 plus lost everything I ever had, and my mom doesn't have much money. I mean, I'm living in her basement right now. It's a 725 square foot house, and you know, I used to have a 2,500 square foot house in Brentwood, and you know, it's just it's complete. You know, it just is insane that anybody would look at the situation and deem this fair. You know. Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to find out how. I understand that, you know, people that have money and get better attorneys and blah, blah, blah. My only question is, how is anybody that doesn't have those resources supposed to be, you know, to get a fair trial? They're supposed to be, you're not supposed to be able to be denied your property, your freedom, you know, different things, without, you know, being heard and without having an opportunity to do that. And I've been denied every opportunity to do that even though some of those words have been used against me in judgments, you know, and it's just I've got the power to do it, and good luck, buddy, if you're going to try to do otherwise, you know, and let somebody else deal with it. And that doesn't seem legal to me in any arena, you know. And it's just, again, I'm not trying to get somebody to say, oh, well, you're retarded, I'll give you, you know, an extra $1 million to take care of you because you're retarded. No, I'm just trying to say, you know, will you hear my side of the case before, you know, I mean, they've already taken away everything I had. I really would have liked them to hear it before they did that, but they didn't. And I'm just trying to say, can someone use common sense? Can someone use the spirit of the law instead of the letter of the law and understand what the law was created for, which was to help and protect people, and use the goddamn law for what it was made for and hear my case? You know? That's all I'm trying to do.
Well, like I said, there's nothing I can do to help you in that regard. I'm sorry about that, and I feel bad, but that's just...
And there's nothing that you're aware of that's available that...
All I know of is, you know, the 1-844-HELP4TN, you know, the hotline, the various legal aid societies throughout Tennessee, because, again, this is a civil case that, you know, you're not getting... you're not going to... You don't have a right to a lawyer in civil cases. So
can I ask you a question about with you know, judging that I'm a stalker, quote unquote, because I sent her a couple emails that she didn't like, asking whether or not the house was in default, and she wouldn't even answer them. But is that not a criminal charge? Is that not, you know, and again, putting an order of protection against me, which takes away my civil liberties as an American citizen, my First and Second Amendment rights, is that not a criminal thing? I mean, those things seem like they should require.
I can't, you know, I'm an attorney, but I've practiced in different areas that, you know, and if I tried to give you an opinion right now on that, that would constitute legal advice. And because I work for the state of Tennessee in this current position, I am prohibited from giving legal advice. If I gave you advice and you said, I talked to John Koch and he said this is total BS, you know, and it wasn't, then you could potentially come after me for legal malpractice because, you know, the second I give you advice, we've established an attorney-client relationship, so I can't do that. So, again, that's why I really can't. You know,
that's just nuts, too. I mean, I understand what you're saying. I'm not trying to.
There's the legal helpline, there's legal aid societies, pro bono. You know, try to reach out, see if there's attorneys out there that'd be willing to take a pro bono, those type of, you know, that's going to be your best bet right now.
It just seems nuts to me. Yeah, I hear you. It just seems nuts to me that there's not. I understand, like what.
I don't think most people realize how awful a civil lawsuit can be.
Yeah.
Until they've been inside one. So I understand, and I don't think most people realize the distinction between a civil and criminal trial, and that, you know, what can happen in a civil trial. You know, you can be destroy, basically.
You can have everything taken away in a day before the judge goes and has tea and nobody's heard a thing he said. You know, and it's like, and if you want to fight back, good luck, but now you have nothing left to do it with, you know? So, I mean, it's just insane to me that anybody is granted that kind of leverage, or even with, for example, the order of protection. They keep watering down, you know, what terms like stalking and harassment mean to the point where you could accuse anybody of that, but they have not changed in any way, shape, or form the penalty system for it. So they try to justify an order of protection because you sent a couple of emails that weren't violent or threatening in any way, shape, or form, but just weren't wanted by the other party, asking about whether or not their greatest asset in the world is even at risk, you know, and that weren't even mean. And to take that and to, you know, gag somebody to where they can't even reach out to the media or the Channel 4 I team and say, hey, look over here, there's some horrible shit going on here, and you can't even do it. I mean, basically, you're tied up, you're gagged, and let them rape you. I mean, there's just the sheriff's department led me off my property with their hands on their guns when I had never done anything wrong or broke a single rule in my life, and wouldn't even allow me me to take anything with me except my toiletries and my clothes, whatever I could fit into one vehicle, while my ex had, you know, nearly a year with me helping her move her stuff out, you know? I mean, it's just insane. I just can't believe, you know, if I was a female and this happened in Williamson County, there's no way in hell they would have ever allowed this to happen, you know? And it's just, it's sexist, it's biased, it's discriminatory, you know, and even in regards to the ADA, it's discriminatory that much more there. The judge tells me that in response to my ADA, assertion and request, you know, he tells me, we all have hardships, Mr. Fenton, that we have to deal with every day. Every single person in this courtroom that got up today had to deal with something, you know, and it's, I can't make excuses for that. I mean, that just, that seems like, I wouldn't want that on YouTube if I was him. You know, I mean, that just seems like that's a whole lot of political negative attention that Tennessee wouldn't want. You know, it just seems nuts to me that everybody's okay with that. And, you know, even in regards to, like, the transcripts that I sent to him, nobody will even tell me if that's an okay copy or not, or if I have to have it, you know, signed, stamped, something different, you know, before I spend another $40 to overnight it to him, you know. It's just insane to me that there's not public outcry about this. And I mean, the only reason I can think is because, like you said, people don't understand until they're inside that situation how horribly screwed it is, you know. And it's just, I can't imagine that, you know, that people, if they had a real understanding of what was going on and the power that these judges have in civil cases and how little their American rights really mean at all, that they'd go for that, you know. It's just, I just don't get it. I just don't, I'm trying to find some way in the system where this is supposed to be okay or fair, or how I'm supposed to, you know, get whatever help or consideration I need, either for being, I've got an order of indigency from, you know, the state as far as the fact that I got no money, so, you know, I'm allowed to file appeal, but they're going to throw it out on 100 different technicalities because I don't know all those, and it's not that I haven't spent, you know, days on end researching stuff. I mean, I've stayed awake 3 days straight trying to get stuff done before I showed up at court, and, you know, they don't care. They don't even look at it, you know. So it's just, I just don't know what else to do, you know. I mean, if it wasn't for the order of protection, I would have reached out to the media long, 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 long time ago, you know. And, you know, there's all kinds of things that, you know, my ex and her company were involved with, you know. That's all they want to do is shut me up and ship me out and leave me with nothing, you know. And it's like, there's a lot of different, you know, Nashville's a good old boys town. Everybody knows that, you know, government contracts, all this and that, you know. It's like, there's a lot of stuff that I have been privy to the information about, but that's all they want to do is keep me gagged. That's the threat that I am. It's not my guns. It's not this or that or anything else, but we'll shut down all the rest of your rights too at the same time with an order of protection, just because you can't get one because somebody might tell the truth about you. You know, it just blows my mind that there's no resource to equalize the playing field and to help anyone, whether it's because of poverty or whether it's because of mental incapacity or whether it's because they can't, you know, do 10 things at one time and, you know, can't concentrate or, you know, blah, blah, blah. That makes this okay, or that makes it to where, you know, that's just tough. And I mean, I'm a pretty smart fella for the most part. It, you know, what happens to the people that aren't even as able as I am, you know? And it's like, and I already lost everything. So it just, it all seems unconstitutional to me. I mean, it seems unconstitutional on the grandest scale. You know, I just can't. you know, I just can't, it just doesn't make any sense to me. It just doesn't, I just don't see any way. And I understand you can't say anything. And I understand it even bothers me that my own attorneys that I've had, you know, for short periods, you know, where one told me, you know, went on an hour long conversation about how she was sorry and how she would be an advocate for me for the rest of my life and all this horse shit. And I call her the next day to ask a simple question about anything, and she won't even reply again after that, you know. And it's like, because she doesn't want to establish an attorney-client relationship again. And it's like, you know, it's like nobody can just tell me the truth about, you know, it just seems nuts to me that somebody can't even tell me about a stupid technicality or deadline, or whether, you know, whether something that's supposed to be filed on a holiday, it gets extended till the next day after the holiday, or whether you're screwed, you didn't get it filed by the holiday, you know. And it's just because of that little technicality, somebody can't even say, you know, what the common procedure is or, you know, acceptable practices without even being specific to my case. It just seems nuts to me that, you know, that any of that would then obligate them to be my attorney or something, so they may open themselves up to more liability and therefore can't tell you a damn thing. And then you go and contact the clerk's office or even, you know, the ADA representative for them, and they, you know, most of them can't aren't attorneys and can't give any legal advice. And legal advice somehow comes right down to even what set of transcripts is okay, what is required on the transcripts. That seems procedural to me. That doesn't seem like that's legal advice, but for some reason everything that has any ramifications on anything is legal advice. So, but
again, I'm sorry I can't help you, but
that's just
where we are.
There's just nothing else you could recommend other than the 800 helpline and the Channel 4 I team, and hope I don't go to jail for talking to the people. Right?
And pro bono, see if you can find a pro bono listing on the Tennessee Bar Association website, Nashville Bar Association website.
So how would I find something pro bono? I'm sorry?
I think they have pro bono information on...
Are you still there? I didn't lose you, did I?
No, I'm looking for... It looks like it'd be on the Tennessee Bar Association's, the TBA website. TBA.org. You just kind of got to dig around on there. And it's, there should be something on there. And then the Help for TN website also has listings of how to find attorneys.
Right, but I mean, finding an attorney and finding an attorney that wants to work for free is two totally different things. I mean, what is their motivation to do anything?
You've just got to dig in and look around. There's some resources out there for it. Again,
is there a motivation for somebody to do pro bono work?
Sir, I mean, I can't get...
No, I'm not asking you, but I'm not trying to say... I'm just saying...
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know, you know. They do it. Sometimes I get CLE hours for it.
Okay.
Other people do it just to be good citizens.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's all I can say.
Okay. I just didn't know if there was some, you know, something in it for them that, you know, made it worth, you know, something other than just having a kind heart, you know, if there somehow were...
They got some time of continuing legal education hours, and then they just do it because they're trying to give back.
Okay. All right. And you say sometimes on the TBA website you can find information about who's willing to do pro bono stuff?
Pro bono, yeah.
Okay.
Look up pro bono Tennessee, and there'll be resources out there.
Okay. Well, I thank you for your time, and I thank you for your frankness, and I wish there was a something more, but I appreciate you speaking with me and being honest, and wish you a great weekend. Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.